The 100 Years' War, the Du Guesclin period. The French attack on Aquitaine, 1377, part 1. Now, the French campaign in Aquitaine began before the attack on Calais and continued for a long time after it had fizzled out. The Duke of Anjou famously disliked long military campaigns. This one, however, proved to be the most sustained and successful of all of his attacks on the English duchy. It was mounted simultaneously from the north and the east. The greater part of the army mustered at Poitiers in the last days of July 1377, more than 2,000 men under the command of the Duke himself and Marshal Sancerre. On August 1st, Anjou marched out across the rich open plain of Poitou and furled his banners at Nontron in northern Perigord and moved down the valley of the Dronne, sweeping away the small Gascon garrisons in his path. The defenders burned their castles and fled or put up a perfunctory resistance before accepting terms. This was a region which had been controlled for years by garrisons and guerrilla bands of Raymond de Montant, Lord of Macedon. But even Raymond's great fortress at Bordelaise resisted only 7 days before the garrison sued for terms and opened the gates. In the next few days, Louis of Anjou was joined by a smaller army coming up from Languedoc under the command of the Seneschal Beaucaire. The combined force, nearly 3,000 strong, now marched across the heavily wooded valley of western Perigord towards Bergerac, the main English garrison town on the Dordogne. Like the defenders of Calais, the English in Bordeaux had had months of warning of what was going on. But like them, they received the news of the enemy's arrival with something of a panic. In Bordeaux, however, there was better reason for it. A year of stalemate, 2 years of truce, had done nothing to improve the duchy's defenses or perilous state of its finances. The English exchequer was responsible for paying about 250 English troops in Gascony, distributed between the garrisons of Bordeaux and Bayonne. In addition, Jean of Gaunt, who was the Lord of Bergerac, paid for the garrison of its castle from revenues of his English estates. Otherwise, all military expenses had to be met from local revenue. In 1377, the Constable of Bordeaux, the duchy's financial officer, could afford to pay only two garrisons, one at Saint-Mulcaire on the Garonne and Dax on the Ardour. Remaining castles of the duchy were defended by their lords and the towns of their inhabitants with locally recruited troops. Some of them received a subsidy from the duchy's revenues, which is likely to have been substantially less than the cost of defense and generally paid late or not at all. It was, of course, in their interest to defend themselves anyway. But unlike the English, they had alternatives of submitting to the King of France. Even the cash-strapped ministers of Edward III realized that urgent steps would have to be taken to send money out to Bordeaux. Since the Italian banking network no longer extended to wartime Bordeaux, this had to be done laboriously and expensively by sending coin and bullion across the Bay of Biscay in heavily armed ships. A total of £5,755 in coin was scraped together at Westminster and was probably all that could be spared. The Great Council, which met in April 1377, had their own ideas on how this would be spent. They thought that to pit a field army against the Duke of Anjou was unrealistic. They told Felton that the money was to be used for static defense and proposed that he should raise an extra 700 troops to boost the garrisons in the duchy. They even specified the places where these troops were to be posted. Whether this was the wisest way to run a campaign 500 miles away may be doubted, but Felton was an experienced enough soldier to ignore the council's prescriptions if he wanted to. When the money arrived at the end of May, he was getting confused messages from his spies about the Duke of Anjou's plans. But early in June, he learned the main French objective was the Valley of the Dordogne. And by early July, he knew that they intended to lay siege to Bergerac before advancing down the valley towards Bordeaux. To meet this threat, Felton disposed of just 860 men-at-arms and an uncertain number of archers, perhaps about 1,000 men in all, of whom about half were Gascons. Some of those presents must have reflected on the decline of English affairs since the Black Prince had fought with 4,000 Gascons at Poitiers and nearly twice as many at Najara. Felton reinforced the garrison at Bergerac, but he was obliged to withdraw troops from most of the remaining garrisons to create a small field army. Even this rapidly exhausted his funds. The money from England was swallowed up in arrears almost as soon as it arrived. By mid-August, Felton was desperately urging the Constable of Bordeaux to find more money, by whatever means he could, before even this small army deserted him. In these difficult conditions, the continuing loyalty of the Gascons was very much an unknown factor. Felton was in the same position as Sir Oliver Ingham in 40 years before. Bordeaux and Bayonne were thought to be reliable, although there had been obscure plots and treasons even in Bordeaux. Left to themselves, most of the smaller towns of the duchy would have been happy to make terms with the stronger power. The nobility had closer ranks with the English administration, but they were staking all that they had on a successful English defense against a much stronger enemy. For some, the risk just simply was too great. In March of 1377, Guillaume Sans de Pompier, whose family had a long tradition of loyalty to the English duchy, secretly agreed to admit 300 soldiers into their castle, including the strategically vital fortress at Fronsac on the north bank of the Dordogne, opposite Le Burn. He had been worked upon for several months by the Lord Albert. King of France sent Albert intended to take Bordeaux and all the territory around it in which Guillaume Sans' lands were located. If he changed sides in time, he could keep what he had and receive a grant of 20,000 francs, as well as a large pension, and would allow him to garrison all of his castles against the English. In one form or another, these arguments must have occurred to every prominent Gascon nobleman in English allegiance. After much hesitation, Guillaume Sans succumbed. But he was only one, and before he could do anything, Felton appeared without warning at Fronsac and arrested him. He was tried in Bordeaux in April and beheaded. Felton could not have carried out this swift and brutal act of repression unless he was confident of support of the rest of the nobility, many of whom were jurors at Guillaume Sans' trial. Their position is a reminder that beyond the point political allegiance cannot be analyzed simply in terms of self-interest. Men like the new Cap de Buch, Armand de Grailly, came from families which had never deserted the cause of English kings, even in the darkest hours of the duchy's history. Archambault's father had died in a French prison rather than reach an accommodation with Charles V. He himself attended the coronation of Richard II at Westminster. Raymond de Montant, Lord of Macedon and Blaye, was a standard bearer for the English cause in Perigord. He had visited England, mixed with the English nobility, lived well on grants and borrowed money, and trafficked in prisoners of war. He returned to fight for Richard II against the Duke of Anjou in 1377. Yet he might have served his own interests better by abandoning the English long before. So, the wonderful political situation of whose side are we on and what happens continues in Aquitaine. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.